I want to say a big thank you to everybody who was praying this week for me. As some of you knew, I was sick this week. Oof. Anybody had that nasty, severe cold and cough? That thing will run you over. It's the same thing that we understand, right? God is with us. He cares about us. And sometimes life delays us, right? You heard me say last week about the airport story being delayed, and then here I am this last week delayed again, being kind of sick. I had to move some appointments. I had to go virtual. I couldn't even go to some hospital visits because literally Chuck's like, "Hun, you can't go to the hospital because you're spreadable," you know? And so it's interesting, sometimes in our lives, we go through things and God puts us in a wilderness. He sets us aside. He pauses us. We have a delay, right? But God is in the midst of it. And I've watched the Lord this week move in ways. It's just beautiful. And we have to rely on others. You know, when we're weak, when we don't have all that we have to rely on God and other people. Amen. And so I'm thankful for our team. Even though we're in transition and we're trimming down our team and then we're rebuilding our team, we're watching God do miraculous things as we've planted a church in the fall, right? We're watching God take care of Rockside Church. So to him be the glory, right? To him be the honor. And so I'm excited to share with you today about a God who provides. And I'm a living example of that, as are you, right? So imagine this, all right? We know the story. You've just been delivered from generations of slavery, right? Imagine the Israelites. You watch God split the Red Sea, drown Pharaoh's army, and lead you into freedom. You dance, you sing, you celebrate, because finally you are free from the slavery, right? But a few days later, about a month or so, there's no food. You're in the middle of the desert. There's no water. There's no clear plan. Anybody frustrated when there's not plans? Are you a planner? Okay. Can you imagine like millions of people and you're out in the middle of nowhere? Who's got the plan? All right. There was no plan. The thrill of freedom has turned into the pressure of survival. Freedom is easier to sing about than to sustain when you're hungry. All right. This is where we find Israel when we're going to look at chapter 16. There's an illustration that says this. I remember hearing about a man who lost his job unexpectedly. He said this: "I trusted God when I had a paycheck coming in. That was easy. But when the paycheck stopped, that's when I learned whether I trust him or not." Right? It's real easy to say yes and amen, and I trust the Lord when all the blessings are coming, when everything's shown up. But once that stuff stops, do we trust the Lord? You see, that's exactly where we find Israel in Exodus 16. The place between bondage and breakthrough, learning to depend on God in every single moment. All right, so turn with me to Exodus 16. And we're going to read a pretty good portion of scripture. So it's going to be on the screen. Also, if you have your device or your Bible, we're going to read it. It's too good to not focus on all the verses. We're just going to read a few of the verses, and then we're going to talk, because there's some good lessons for us today that we can glean from this passage of scripture. All right. It says this, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. "Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day on the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt." All right, 1 month after freedom. This is where we're at. "There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron." Now, here's the deal. Israel is like who we are today. So as we read Israel and you're like, "Oh man, that's terrible." We are like Israel. So your name, my name, goes in that place, all right? "There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. 'If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt,' they moaned. 'There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death.'" So forgetting about the fact that they were slaves and they were being beaten and worked to death, all they could focus on was the hunger in the moment, right? They wished that they were back in that place of bondage. Sound familiar to some of us? Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I am going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they follow my instructions." See, he's a good father, and he doesn't want robots. He wants people to love him and choose him. And so he gives opportunities, like a good parent, to teach and train his kids. So he's going to give them opportunity as a test. I'm going to give them instructions, and we'll see how well they do, right? On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there'll be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "By evening, you will realize it is the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us?" Then Moses added, "The Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all of your complaints against him." "What have we done?" "Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in a cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. "What is it?" they asked each other. They had no idea. They'd never seen it. And Moses told them, "It is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions." All right, so here comes the instructions. "Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent." So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. All right, so that's a lot of detail, but God was putting it down that he was going to take care of them. He called them out of Egypt. He provided a way. Remember the plagues. Remember what Moses went through. They got to the Red Sea. Literally, God did a miracle. Divided the Red Sea. They were able to cross on dry land. All the Israelites saw God do this. The Egyptians were swallowed up in the sea, and then they were free. And yet, here they find themselves a few weeks later going, "God, why aren't you taking care of us?" Right? Sound familiar, guys? Right? We complain to God, and he's like, "I got it. I got you. I'm going to take care of it." They even said, "Lord, if you had only killed us back in Egypt." And God, rich in his mercy, said, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven." Every morning, manna appeared. Every evening, quail came for them. They could gather just enough, but no more. If they tried to store it up, it would spoil by morning. So the hoarding wasn't an option. The lesson was trust. God's provision is daily, not stockpiled. It's about relationship, not storage. Ah, I don't know about you guys. That's tough, right? You see, this miracle food that rained down from heaven was called manna, right? Literally miracle. Heaven sent sustenance. It appeared with the morning dew. It looked like small white flakes or seeds. Scripture says it tasted like wafers made with honey. It could be ground up, cooked, or baked. God was providing what they needed during the day and during the evening. So there's a couple lessons from this passage that I want us to focus on. And the first thing is this: the wilderness isn't punishment. It's preparation. Right? If you're in a wilderness right now, it's not punishment. It's God preparing you. The wilderness doesn't mean God left you. It often means he's preparing you for what's next, all right? Turn over to Exodus 13. We go back into the story, and we're looking at verses 17 through 18, all right? When Pharaoh finally let the people go, all right, so this is going back into the story, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. So God specifically did not take them on the shortest route. God said if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God knew that it couldn't be quick and sweet. He knew that it was going to need to take time for them. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. God knew that it was going to take time for them to get it all figured out. He chose that route on purpose. Where you are today, if you find yourself in that place of wilderness, God chose it on purpose. The wilderness was an in-between place where Israel had been delivered from Egypt, but yet not yet reached the promised land. That in-between place. It represents a season of testing, dependence, and formation. A place where God revealed both the people's lack of trust and also his faithful provision, all right? And just as a reminder, you know, again, Israel had just left slavery. They were traveling through the wilderness. They complained and complained, and God responded by sending the manna and the quail so that they could learn daily dependence on him. We're no different. He wants us to learn daily dependence on him. The wilderness represents a testing ground for obedience because God said he would see whether they would follow the instructions. It's a place of provision where God fed them with manna. A place of training where God taught them about Sabbath rest and daily trust instead of hoarding or self-reliance. A place of identity formation, showing that Israel was to live by God's word, not by fear or slavery-shaped habits, but to live by God's word. You see, in our lives, the wilderness often represents seasons where we feel stuck between where we were and where God is taking us. Our normal sources of comfort, maybe they're stripped away. God is teaching us to trust him one day at a time. Our faith is being shaped through lack, through waiting, through prayer, and obedience. Have you guys ever been in a season of waiting? Season of lack, right? A season of having to choose obedience, right? God is shaping you into who he wants you to be. The wilderness was a place of transition, testing, and trust. And it's the same for us. So if you find yourself there, embrace it. The same God who delivered them from Egypt was now developing them for destiny, developing them for purpose. He wasn't punishing them, he was preparing them. Amen? All right, let's look at Deuteronomy verse 8, verses 2 and 3, and it'll be on the screen for us. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Verse 3. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna and food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, right? Rather than we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. God was teaching them this, that he is the bread of life. He will provide. He will take care of. All right, let's look at James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Says this, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. All right. So that's part of the testing. God was testing Israel. And he does that with us as well. You guys know that gold or silver, any metal, in order to purify it, right? What has to happen? It has to go under intense heat. The heat is pulled up, and as the heat goes, the impurities come to the surface. Well, guess what? We're no different, right? To get into the fire of the Holy Spirit and let God bring those things to the surface so that we can be purified by fire, right? Fire brings out the brilliance. The wilderness is God's refining fire for your faith. Maybe you're in a wilderness right now between what God has promised and what you can see. Don't despise it. God does his best discipling in those dry places, in those quiet places, in those places where you feel isolated and maybe you feel alone. Those are the times where God's calling out to you. Come near. Come near to me. He's not trying to break you down. He's building you up for what's next. All right. Another lesson that we learn from this passage is this. Number two, God's provision is daily and dependable. God didn't give them what they needed in abundance. It came daily, with instructions for them to follow. His faithfulness repeated every morning, every night. His faithfulness is the same. He's the same God then as he is now, right? You can trust him. You can trust what his word says. Exodus 16:4 says this. It'll be on the screen. For the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need. I will test them in this to see whether or not they follow my instructions. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, the faithful love of the Lord, what? It never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. He is good. He is faithful. His word says it, and therefore we can take that to the bank. Amen? Matthew 6:11 says this, give us today the food we need, out of the Lord's Prayer, right? He provides for us what we need. And then Philippians 4:19, a familiar scripture. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Again, over and over and over in Scripture does it prove God is who he says he is and that we're his kids and he's going to take care of us. He will provide. It may not look like what you think it should look like. It may not be exactly in your timing, but God will take care of you. His provision is dependable. Because God's character doesn't change. He's the same God yesterday, today, and what? Forever, right? When he says it, he means it. Anybody need that reminder today? Here in this place? Yeah. Amen. So what do you need today? God's grace is fresh every morning, just like manna. You can't live on yesterday's understanding or even yesterday's miracle. You need God's portion for today. You can't lean back on all the good days, the glory days. No, you need fresh new manna every single day from his presence and from his word. In God's economy, dependence is not weakness. Oh, thank goodness. I'm so glad that that's the way it is, because I depend on him. I need him every single day, every moment. Dependence is actually worship. Depending on him is a way we can worship God, right? And then the third lesson from this passage is this. These are simple things, but good reminders for us today, right? Is gratitude transforms the wilderness. Israel's greatest challenge wasn't just the hunger. It was their heart, right? How quickly they forgot the many literal crazy miracles that God did for them just before. How quickly they forgot. Like, wow, right? They focused on what they lost instead of who was with them. God had been with them the entire time, proving and proving. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to, but he did. God was with them. And you know what? He's the same God today. Jesus came, right, to be Emmanuel, what? God with us, right? He's the same God today with us in our need, in our wilderness, in our in-between seasons, in our transitions where we don't understand what is going on, God. What are you doing? We trust him. You see, because complaining clouds your view of God's glory. But thankfulness, gratitude, there's something spiritual about it, supernatural about it. It opens your eyes of faith. So whatever you're facing right now, whatever you're in, whatever you're dealing with, even if it's the most challenging thing of your lifetime, I promise you, if you can get God's perspective, ask God, Lord, help me to see, what are you doing in the midst of this? What's my part? How can my life give you glory even in this hard space, right? God will show you that because he doesn't waste anything. And he's with us. God said he'll never leave us or forsake us. So no matter what you're in, what you're going through, what you're facing, he's right there with us. That's the promise of who he is. That's our Savior that died on the cross for us, right? And then rose again so that we could have life and life to the full. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." I've always struggled with that because be thankful in all circumstances. There are circumstances that aren't good. They're not easy. They're hard. And it's like, how do we do that, Lord? Again, we do it by asking God, what's your perspective? And what are you doing in the midst of this? It doesn't mean we just wash things away and we don't ever have problems. And no, there's hard things, absolutely. But we can be grateful and thankful in the midst of those things because God is working in us and through us, if we let him, if we can have heaven's perspective instead of just our really small perspective. Amen? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, "Don't worry about anything." Another really hard scripture. Don't worry about anything. Oh, sure, God. "Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Don't worry about anything. Our position is to be a son or a daughter. Our position is to get under his wings and to rest in him, knowing that he's got it all in control. He holds the world in his hands. And we need to get in that right place of understanding. We don't know anything. He knows it all. And we can trust this great God that delivered Israel over and over and over again. And that same God can deliver us over and over and over again. Amen? Amen? Listen, I'm not the only one here today, right? I'm struggling. I don't know if you can tell. I'm not feeling super well. God's good, right? And his mercies are good, and I'm thankful. And listen, I need you guys to be with me today, okay? We're getting done. We're getting close. But this is a good message, and I need you to hear it. I need you to hear a heart of it. Psalms 100 says this, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." Coming into his presence and being thankful instead of coming into his presence and complaining about all the things, right? There's a time for that. There's a time to bring him his requests, absolutely. But boy, isn't it better to have an attitude of gratitude? God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in the midst of this situation. God, thank you for answering these prayers. Changes everything. Gratitude doesn't change your surroundings, but it changes the spirit inside of you. It changes you. A missionary once said, "I used to thank God for the big things. Now I thank him even for my breath each day." Every day that we wake up and our eyes open and we see light, we should say, "Thank you, Jesus, for another day to breathe, to live, to have purpose," right? That's a miracle that we wake up. Gratitude turns the ordinary into worship and the wilderness experience into wonder. So this week, challenge yourself. Before you complain, count your blessings. Not your burdens, count your blessings. Before you go to be negative and whatever, maybe try not to turn the news on. Just try it for a week, right? Just take a break, breathe, right? Go into scripture, focus on what God is doing, right? The blessings of God, right? He's in charge. We can breathe no matter what's going on. We know Revelation. We know the end of the story, right? God has victory. Jesus is coming back for his church at some point. For those that are ready, for those that have made him Lord and Savior. That will happen. We don't know the time frame. Matthew 24 talks about seasons and we can know some signs. We don't know exactly, but we need to be ready, right? And we need to be getting other people ready, giving them the hope of Jesus. So this week, try to notice your manna moments. Try to look for them in your daytime. Your answers to prayer, the small miracles, right? The little provisions. Look for those things this week. Can we do that? Can we try that? Right? And you'll see, when you start looking for it, you'll be like, "Wow, God, you're really working." He's like, "I've been working, you just haven't been noticing." Right? All right, fourth thing, we're almost done. I know I said that before, but God is in the middle of your wilderness. He's in the middle of the mess. He's in the middle of your Egypt. He's in the middle right there with you. When the people looked toward the wilderness, they saw the glory of the Lord in the cloud. They saw him, right? There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. God wasn't waiting for them in Cana. He was with them in the desert, in the space right where they were at. And he's with you today in your space right where you're at. And I'm so thankful. That's the God I trust. He's with me in the space I'm at. I'm so grateful and thankful as we lead Rockside Church, as God's doing things in us. I'm so thankful that God's in the middle of it, right there with us, leading and guiding and providing at every space. We, as a board, we meet monthly and we just are so grateful to go, "God, we don't understand how you do this every month, how you take care of Rockside, how you take care of the vision and what we're doing, multiplying out. It is only him, and we give him all the glory for it." God meets us in the middle. A couple more verses. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, "Be strong and courageous." Some of you need to hear that today. "Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Be strong and courageous. God's going to go before you. Oh, beautiful. Next one, Psalm 23:4. Again, these are reminders of who God is. "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. He is the great shepherd. He will walk and guide you to still waters. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. That's a promise. God did it literally for the I can't even think of it right now, but you know, the fiery furnace. Sham, no, what are their names? Help me out, people. Thank you. Your pastor is struggling today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he did it for them, right? But this isn't talking literal. This is talking in our lives, right? God will be with you. Matthew 28:20 says this. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. And this is the beautiful part. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you hear nothing else today, God is with you. He's with you in the middle, and God will provide, and God will take care of. God provides not just to sustain us temporarily, but to shape our trust permanently. Maybe you've been delivered out of your Egypt, but you're still wandering around uncertain. You're weary and you're waiting. Hear God whisper to you today. I didn't bring you out to leave you. I brought you out to lead you. He didn't bring you out to leave you, but to lead you. In a moment, I'm going to play a song, and I want you guys to just listen to the lyrics, and then we'll respond to the Lord after that. But this is a worship moment, and it carries the spirit of this song by Corey Asbury called Egypt. Celebrating a God who delivered us from Egypt, parted our oceans, and walks with us in our wilderness. So in this moment, even as we listen to this song and get ready to respond to the Lord, let this be a reminder to you, okay? God didn't just bring you out. He's bringing you through, all right? He's still the one who fights your battles, parts your seas, and surrounds your wilderness with glory. That's who he is. He's not only the God who frees you, he's the God who feeds you, leads you, and stays with you. That's the God we're talking about today. A couple of the lyrics, and again, we're going to listen to it and just have a moment with the Lord. But the lyrics say this, I won't forget the wonder of how you brought me through. Deliverance, the exodus of my heart. Because you found me, you freed me, held back the waters for my release. Oh, Yahweh. And then it says, you're the God who fights for me. Lord of every victory, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep, hallelujah. Amen? And it says, because you stepped into my Egypt. He stepped into the middle, right? You took me by the hand and you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. And now I will not forget you. I will sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. This is the God we're talking about. He brought you out of Egypt.